You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Hello weekend. Just about here. Right around the corner anyway. Happy Friday to you. It is a Gym Class program taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, both in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you here in our studio on the southwest side. Andrew in today.
Yes.
Once again, this is back-to-back.
Yes.
As Lou Brown would say, if we had a weekday tomorrow and you were here again, that would be a streak. It has happened before.
It has happened before, yes. Yes, it has.
Good to see you.
You too.
All right. Mark Dukes from the southwest side on the back porch on a very nice Friday afternoon joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing good, you guys, and good afternoon to everyone. And so enjoying all the back-to-school pictures. Are you not, guys? Catching up with family and their friends and our friends and whatnot. Cute outfits. Hi, I'm in fourth grade. I think that's what Facebook is really meant to be rather than all the drivel that's out there. So congrats to all the kids who are back in school.
It's parents' favorite day today, right?
Or worse, depending on how old the child is.
True. Very true, because I haven't gone through this in several years, mm-hmm. but Mark hasn't either. And we remember those days though, and sometimes it hit moms hard, mm-hmm. and we appreciate mm-hmm. that. And it's tough. It's tough. It's a whole you got to get back into a different mindset. Mm-hmm. So hey, but teachers are great. They will do a fantastic job. We are very, very fortunate to be in the state that we are with the education that we have. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today on the text line. That is the phone line as well, 319-366-1600. With yesterday being basically a day dedicated to the news coming out of Iowa City about Kirk Ferentz and John Budmer both being suspended one game, we pushed our Thursday guest to today, and very thankful that he is able to join us. Cole Bear covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Will be joining us. We will talk about the 2024 edition of UNI football. See what he thinks as far as, is this a crossroads season for Mark Farley and the UNI football program? So we will talk with Cole coming up in a little bit. We have football. We are less than 24 hours away from college football, America, as we've got games coming up tomorrow. A little NCAA news to let you know about that is breaking over the last hour or so. And we will talk about the games coming up tomorrow. Big night in high school football as well, as pretty much every team around the state is in some sort of action tonight. There are a smattering of 8-player games tonight that count, but the vast majority, the 98th percentile of the state of Iowa, involved in scrimmages tonight. These don't count as far as your one-loss record is concerned, but they are very, very key to coaches out there and to staffs trying to figure out exactly who to play in what situation and when, where, how it's going to go about, who's going to win this particular job, et cetera, et cetera. And they should have a good night for it tonight, Mark.
Yeah, definitely should. And, those scrimmages are important, I think, for coaches and players. The scoreboard is not so important, as you know, Scott. It's all about coaches trying to figure out if their schemes, either old or new, or working with the players that are in place, which players are going to be in place, so on and so forth. So A lot of tune-ups tonight, and they'll be beneficial.
Yeah, a lot of tune-ups tonight, and it is beneficial. And yeah, but you'll hear the there'll be something on Twitter out there tonight or some other social networking. Hey, did you see that score? Yeah, can you believe that? Don't read too much into it. Much like I am not reading too much into the fact that Mark's Chicago Bears made my Chiefs look bad for three quarters last night.
Well, yeah, I'm encouraged. I'm not really big into breaking down preseason games at all, but I have to say I'm very encouraged by what I've seen in the Bears. There was one stat out there today that I hope the Bears don't break, and that is that teams that have a point differential of 60 points or more in the preseason, every team in the last 15 years has gone to the playoffs. Mm. And the Bears, that's not including the Hall of Fame game. It's the last three. And the Bears' point differential is more than 60. Long way to go. But I am encouraged.
I'm encouraged. I like your new defensive scheme. And the coordinator. The one thing that caught me last night, Mark, and if you'd like to weigh in, love to hear from you, 319-366-1600. Bears fans and Chiefs fans alike, and there were no starters to be seen anywhere. They were on the sidelines at Arrowhead, most of them in street clothes. But Chiefs did not even play Carson Wentz, the backup. They went with their third, fourth string quarterbacks. But the one thing, if I'm a Bear fan, Mark, encouraging me would be the way they play. They play the game the right way. And their schemes were good, sound defensively, a lot of blitzing, and they had another pick six last night. Their turnover margin in the preseason was, I think, plus five. All things to be encouraged about if you're a Bear fan.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of depth on that defense, especially in the defensive backfield, and the Bears picked up an outside linebacker, edge guy from Seattle today, and gave up only a sixth-round draft pick. So, I think they were a solid defense last year, but they're really kind of going all in this year. And it's a long season. It's a tough season. You don't know about injuries. But I think depth is always important. And from what I've seen in the preseason, the Bears have quite a bit of it.
If you're a Chiefs fan, one thing to be encouraged about is the Carson Steele hype train is continuing to leave the tracks in a big, big way. The rookie from UCLA through Ball State, another big game last night. They don't know exactly. He is listed as the number one fullback right now, but they don't really know exactly what they're going to do with him. Four rushes, 50 yards, including a 31-yarder and a touchdown last night. This guy's going to make the team, and he's going to play a lot for the Chiefs.
He is going to make the team, and it appears to be a pretty versatile player. That touchdown came late in the game, but nevertheless, he looked really good on that run. And not a lot of teams use the fullback anymore, but if he's the third running back or whatever it may be, he can be a valuable piece. But I don't know if you got any clarity on the wide receivers because so many didn't play. But talk today is that Kadarius Toney may not be a Chief much longer. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to make it. I think they're going to try to ship him out. I think they're going to try to get him traded before they have to cut him. But I think everything that has gone on, good and bad, with Kadarius Toney, I think his time as a Chief is going to come to an end. I think they're going to keep – Sky Moore has had a very good camp. He has been underperforming the first 2 years of his career. Mecole Hardman, of course, catching the overtime touchdown in the Super Bowl last year. I think that helped him. He's been returning kicks a little bit as well. So, and Toney did last night. I think they were just trying to showcase him last night. He was probably the highest – graded Chief along with Carson Steele to play last night and played in the first quarter, and that was it. But I don't think Tony's going to be a Chief much longer. I think Kansas City's also waiting for a possible suspension for Rashee Rice. See exactly what is going to happen, stemming from the incident in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the offseason with the car race. So I don't know. We'll see, but I don't think Tony's going to be there. Matt in Fairfax says, yes, that steel kid ran hard for Kansas City last night. I would agree. 319-366-1600. More NFL action coming up tonight and throughout the weekend. Tonight, the slate looks like this. It'll be Jacksonville at Atlanta. It'll be the Battle of Florida. That'll be Miami and Tampa Bay. And the what used to be the Battle of the Bay. San Francisco goes to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. So three more games tonight in the National Football League. 319-366-1600. Mark, let's get to this news because it's just starting to be pieced together, and I like it. It is not set in stone yet, but hopefully I think we're going to see a little bit of more stability. We hope, anyway. Coaches hope this as well. As far as the NCAA with football and the transfer portal. David J. Cobb of CBS Sports reporting that the NCAA Football Oversight Committee within the last hour has proposed to eliminate the spring transfer portal window by next year. That in an attempt to stabilize the rosters. This would be obviously a little bit of a blow to the freedom of the players, but it is going to help coaches in a big, big way. As David Cobb writes on CBSSports.com, it is going to be a welcome change for coaches who must now operate in a position of uncertainty throughout spring practice over how many of the players on their roster may ultimately leave. This, if it gets passed, Mark, this is going to get rid of the 15-day window after spring football where you're going to have another several thousand athletes that are going to pick up and leave before fall camp starts.
Yeah, first of all, Kirk Ferentz news yesterday, of which I thought our local programming here did a fantastic job, not just our show, but Todd and Spencer. But again, this is a proposal that will be voted on in the fall. And, you know, the Iowa situation would happen in the fall period. So that's not something that you can tie together. A couple things about this. The spring period was used about a third of the time among all the portal transfers. So you're not talking about the majority, and you're not talking about some of the top flight players who might have entered during the fall portal period. And I didn't read enough into this, Scott. Maybe you have the answer. What if, for example, a coach leaves after the season, after the fall portal period? Do they get to transfer immediately? Do they have to wait till the spring period? That part I don't know. But it would certainly benefit the players if something like that happened, and they can take action immediately.
Yeah, it doesn't say in anything that I have read so far, a lot of this having to do with the upcoming 105 roster limit that is coming from the House versus the NCAA decision. And that is going to create a little bit more uncertainty, it says, with the transfer windows. But yeah, you're right. This is not going to be most of the big names. They're going to still be in the winter period. But I think, like Dennis writes here, that it's going to make coaches a little bit more at ease because unless the coach leaves, obviously that is throwing everything into an uproar and into the air. Basically, the roster you have in the spring is going to be the roster you're going to have in the fall. You don't have to worry about, okay, my number two right tackle, maybe my backup as well, I can throw him in at left tackle or at guard. all of a sudden he's gone. And then I got to scamper to get somebody in here. Got to get, in Iowa's case, Tyler Barnes out there to scour what's going on in the transfer portal. I got to move quickly. It's going to eliminate that situation.
Yeah, I think it will give coaches some comfort level out there, knowing what you described, and especially when coaches are transitioning to a roster that's 20 more players, scholarship players, or at least 20 more scholarships available starting next year. And I assume, since it's going to be, this particular proposal is going to be voted on in the fall, that it would take effect for the 2025 season. We'll see.
That is correct. 319-366-1600. Good idea? Bad idea? What do you think? 319-366-1600. Which leads us, ladies and gentlemen, to football. We've got football tomorrow starting at 11 o'clock in the morning on ESPN. It'll be 10th-rated Florida State taking on Georgia Tech. They will kick off the season in Dublin. And that one, an ACC affair right out of the chute. We have a game tomorrow night for you at 6:30, as it'll be SMU taking on Nevada tomorrow. And looking forward to that one. That's an evening game, of course. And again, that will be at 6:30 tomorrow night between SMU and Nevada. Also tomorrow, Montana State will take on New Mexico. And late night, it will be Hawaii entertaining Delaware State. But a couple decent games in there, Mark. SMU, a bowl team a year ago. Nevada has had bowl seasons over the last handful of years anyway. And then, of course, Florida State and Georgia Tech will go at it. And Georgia Tech has been down as far as the ACC is concerned. They did have a winning campaign a year ago and a bowl win. And they're starting to turn things around after running the wishbone for so many years. They've got a terrific quarterback in Haynes King. And they're gonna challenge Florida State a little bit. Seminoles lost a lot. The third stop, if you're counting, for DJ Uiagalelei, and I know I said that inaccurately, but I have problems with his name. DJ U will be starting for his third team and takes over for Jordan Travis, of course, who left Florida State. Keon Coleman not there. In fact, top three receivers for Florida State all leaving for the National Football League, Mark. So I think it's going to be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good time in these openers and early games, if you're a bettor, whether it's advantageous to pick up some early money. Betting, let's face it, is a 50-50 proposition at best, always. But Florida State favored by 12 points over in Ireland. And got these early games, you just never know whether teams are going to be in sync, whether who's motivated, who's not. Things that are interesting to me is the Montana State-New Mexico game. Montana State, an FCS program, favored by 13.5 points over New Mexico, and that is the largest favorite of an FCS team over an FBS team in the last 15 years, and Montana State made a run at last year's national title and probably will do so again this year.
Yeah, Montana State, one of the top teams in 1AA. And yeah, that's unprecedented, is a two-touchdown favorite on the road. Now, New Mexico, that is not going to be confused at any moment with Alabama or Georgia or anyone of the like. It's been a program that has been downtrodden over a long period of time in Albuquerque, and would not shock me at all if Montana State came in there to the Desert Southwest and beat them. SMU and Nevada from the biggest little city in the world, Reno, Nevada, tomorrow night. should be, I think, a very entertaining game. I think there's going to be some points put up there. You talk about point spreads. SMU is a 26-point favorite in that one, Mark. But I think it's going to be closer than that.
All right, I'll mark you down for that, Scott.
By the way, if you are curious, we are 1 week away from our first edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Yeah, you're ready for it, aren't you, Andrew? Andrew's ready for it. So we will have the same panel as a year ago, your chance to win a gift card from Emil's Hideaway starting next Friday. And I got to get back on the ball, man. Last year was a horrible season for me.
You and I were a distant third and fourth. I don't know which order that came in, but Spencer and Dave Alec came down to the wire. And those guys are tough. We're going to have to be on our game, Scott.
Yeah, they are. 319-366-1600. 3629 talking about the elimination, the potential elimination of the spring portal, says it is a bad idea. It needs to be bookended for the player. If you sign a player in the winter and replaces a roster player in the spring, where does the roster player go and how does he get there under NCAA rules? The change helps coaches and hurts players. Yeah, it absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It helps coaches and hurts players. But like I said, I think it's going to add stability to the rosters. And I guess it's going to force the hand of players, Mark, that if they are going to make a move, they're going to have to do it in the wintertime.
Yeah, we'll first see if this is approved, but good point by the texter. And I think you said at the outset that this is going to be a potentially a setback for players with the elimination of proposed elimination anyway of the spring windows. So, first of all, let's see if it passes and how it's going to be implemented.
Yeah, and we got to have some sort of curtailing. It's the Wild West right now, as we found out a little bit yesterday. 319-366-1600. Thank you for weighing in, 3629. Do appreciate that. We're going to talk UNI football. Speaking of 1AA or FCS, whichever you prefer, Cole Bear is going to join us coming up here in the next several minutes, but we want to get you to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Speaking of our friends at Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, they're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Check out their entire menu. It is online at emilshideaway.com. And tell them Scott, Mark, Andrew, Isaac, everybody at KGYM sent you and says hi. What do we got on the scoreboard?
In golf, the BMW Championships, the second leg of the FedEx Cup, Adam Scott, on the strength of a 63, has taken a 5-stroke lead over the field. A couple players at -8 still on the course. In the women's British Open, Nelly Korda, the world's number one, has a 3-shot lead at the halfway point. According to a University of Iowa release, Don Sushi has died at the age of 93. He died earlier this month. He was a co-captain of the 1956 Iowa Rose Bowl team and a second-team All-America from Belle Plaine, Iowa. And finally, Scott, you remember the USA pommel horse guy?
I do.
The sensation, the bespectacled sensation. Stephen Nedorosik has been announced as the first participant on Dancing with the Stars, which starts next month.
Indeed. Full disclosure, as you mentioned earlier on today to me, you used to be a devotee of the Dancing with the Stars, Mark, but you have since not watched it as of late.
I have not, mainly because of other interests, and Bruno drives me crazy, and so does Carrie Ann Inaba.
Andrew, are you a Dancing with the Stars watcher?
I have not watched it in a long while, but at first I was kind of in and out of it, just depending on who was on the season. I'd watch for like one or two people, and then after they were eliminated, I'd stop watching.
Okay. But you were there.
Yeah.
You were an interested bystander.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, you got the gymnast. You could see that coming from a mile away, the popularity that picked up.
If it wouldn't have been this season, it would have been next, most likely. Like, there's no way they were passing that opportunity up.
Gymnasts have done well, too.
Yes, they have.
They have done well. Athletes have done well in the past. I have heard. 319-366-1600-330. Colbert covers the UNI Panthers for the Gazette. Will join us, and we will talk about the 2024 edition of Mark Farley and the Purple Panthers when we come back.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Grayson Freund with your Weather First forecast. Temperatures today will be in the upper 70s under partly sunny skies, with cloud cover increasing through the afternoon, and tonight will fall back into the 60s under partly cloudy skies. As moisture increases into the weekend, we will have a chance for isolated showers tomorrow afternoon, and temperatures as well as humidity will be back on the rise, with highs reaching the upper 80s and low 90s this weekend. And that's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
What will you write in that email? The one admitting you've been hacked. Today, your clients trust you. You still have time. So call Network Computer Solutions for a network security scan. This highly specialized process detects security gaps in your network, and NCS provides recommendations to close them. Do everything you can today so your business never has to write that email. Call NCS for a network security scan at 319-247-7223.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quickstar. And as we mentioned, football, college, gridiron action starts tomorrow. And what better way to celebrate it than backyard barbecue? And Quickstar is your place to pick up ground beef from the Quickery, just $2.99 a pound. That's perfect for grilling out with friends or family or your guys you're going to beat in your fantasy football league. It doesn't matter. They've got terrific ground beef, and get it ready for your backyard barbecue. $2.99 a pound. Also, don't forget about the roasted whole chicken on special for $5.99. That is every Monday, hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. And don't forget about picking up and getting on your Quick Rewards app. You can select order ahead, and those orders can be picked up in store or brought to your car curbside. So all that and a whole lot more available at your neighborhood Quickstar.
When you grow up in a family business, shop local just hits different. You basically absorb the idea that these people's jobs, their lives, literally depend on you. And that's pretty crazy. It's also the lives of all the people they impact. So like, somebody chooses my family's business, then our employees choose other local businesses. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond. The ripples just keep expanding and make the whole community stronger.
1600 ESPN is a local business. We're here just like you. Choose local every time you can.
1600 ESPN and Hertin and Stocker Jewelers want to give you free tickets to the biggest football game in the state of Iowa with the Great Gridiron Giveaway. Go to KGYMRadio.com and tell us how Iowa or Iowa State can win this year's game. When you do that, you're instantly entered to win a pair of tickets to the game September 7th in Iowa City. Plus, you'll automatically be entered to win $5,000 cash in a national contest that you could use to throw an epic tailgate party. It's the Great Gridiron Giveaway from Hertin and Stocker Jewelers and 1600 ESPN.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
334, back with you on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. No Spencer on Sports today. He is off on this Friday, so we are going to send it back to ESPN programming for you. That'll be coming up at 4 o'clock. Also coming up, UNI Panther 2024 season about to get underway for Mark Farley and the Panthers. And we bring in Cole Bear, who covers the Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us. Cole, first of all, thanks for helping us out and moving to a Friday edition of the show after everything that went out in Iowa City today. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem at all, guys. How you doing?
Good, good, good. And bigger question is, how are Mark Farley and the Panthers doing? And I'll ask you this, when we've been talking about it, I think a crossroads season for Mark and this UNI football team, especially after the way the season ended, the comments of last year. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a crossroads season. Mark's got, I think, at least 2 years left on his contract, and with a first-year director of athletics and Megan Franklin at the helm, I think that would take a lot of temerity to move away from Mark if things don't go well for the Panthers this season. And I think you're on track in a sense, because you look at the schedule and it's not hard to go, well, I mean, is there more than five wins on this schedule? You know, you could look at the schedule and go, I could see them maybe only winning three or four games. At the same time, there are some realities somewhat behind the scenes, or the curtain, if you will, that UNI's football program, with the departure of Western Illinois to the Ohio Valley Conference, at last check with public records, UNI, with the Leathernecks no longer around, is spending the least amount of money among Missouri Valley Football Conference teams annually on its program. So I think whether it was David Harris as the AD before or Megan Franklin as the AD now, they certainly understand what they're asking Mark Farley to do and what they're giving him.
Cole, what has Megan Franklin done for the program to quote-unquote make an impact, which is Mark Farley's words, as opposed to the previous administration?
Yeah, a couple examples that Coach Farley gave us was when there was the unfortunate situation, I think it would have been back in late June, that first-year offensive coordinator Luke Falk abruptly resigned and went back home to Utah because of an illness, a serious illness in his family. And by nature of that resignation, I don't think I'm putting any words in Mark Farley's mouth here. I thought he made it pretty clear that previous leadership may have made it a little more difficult for him and his program to turn on a dime like they did and hire a replacement for Luke Falk, and not just any replacement. Luke Falk, of course, I think we may have talked about this around spring ball, came here to install the air raid offense that he played in under Mike Leach at Washington State. Well, Coach Farley was allowed to and given the resources that he needed on a dime to go out and hire Joel Filani, who was at Northern Arizona, a really good JUCO program as a pass game coordinator. Joel Filani played for Mike Leach as a really good wide receiver years ago at Texas Tech. I came away from the way in which Mark spoke about that, that was Megan Franklin's blessing. Here are the resources. Tell me what you need to get not just a coach to replace Luke Falk, but the right coach to replace Luke Falk, given these unfortunate circumstances that have unfolded. Another quick example would be that for the past handful of years, half decade, UNI being a program with the resources it has or doesn't have during preseason camp would eat its meals on the concourse of the Unidome. And the concession staff there played a role in it. A lot of the support staff, volunteer staff on the football program or the football team itself would play a role in getting those meals together for all of those guys. Well, Megan Franklin went to the university and got it back to what it should be, and that's that Mark Farley's football team during preseason camp goes to the dining halls on campus, and they're able to eat there, and that staff is able to facilitate it for them. Like they should. And it wasn't like, it sounds like that was an amicable thing too, not like Megan Franklin alienated anybody on the university side when she did that. And so those were two things Coach Farley pointed out that, you know, may not seem like the biggest thing in the world, but he sure appreciated them.
On the field, new faces coming in, old faces back, quarterback position though, that's what everybody looks at. And that's going to be a new situation going into this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Three guys have been competing in preseason camp, a redshirt sophomore and Matthew Shekelman out of Wisconsin, who they got a few years back that they really like. Jackson Daly, who was a really good quarterback at Southeast Polk, went to Arkansas State, and then transferred to UNI this spring or this past winter. And then Aiden Dunn, who was a really good prep at Dubuque Hempstead and is a redshirt junior. So he's a fourth-year guy, and Coach Farley all but named a starting quarterback on Media Day, saying that Aiden Dunn was the front runner at that point. It's my belief Aiden Dunn will be the starter for next Saturday's game against Valparaiso. And, you know, we just have not seen much of Aiden Dunn, given the presence of Theo Day and how he took over 2.5 years ago as UNI's, you know, just unquestioned quarterback, and understandably so. Aiden Dunn, I think, in high school proved that he's got some nice skills and talents. It's a question on how much of that will translate to Missouri Valley Conference football, but I totally understand how he is the front runner. Then again, at the same time, there's just so little to be able to try to analyze about him because of how little football, college football, he's played.
Cole, on your mind, what are the strengths and maybe glaring weaknesses of this 2024 team?
Yeah, strengths are going to be the offensive line, running backs, and wide receivers. And those are pretty good bones to have. A new quarterback's best friend is going to be an offensive line and a good run game that can help him in the play-action pass. So I think that kind of raises the floor a little bit for Aiden Dunn this season, or whomever is playing quarterback. They've got three big running backs in Ty Edwards, Amari Pesek-Hickson, and Harrison Bay-Bui, who at different times last season all looked really good. On the offensive line, they don't just have experience and talent back. They also have some depth. I think they got 9 guys that in different years you could consider starting caliber guys. Meanwhile, the weaknesses, they're about as clear as the strengths. The defensive line, they graduated 4 or 5 guys last year that made starts on the defensive line. It's going to be a completely new defensive line, just a few guys in there with any meaningful experience and snaps to their name. And the secondary, they were bitten by the transfer portal more than anything in the secondary. And so Mark Farley went out and got back into the transfer portal. I know they got a freshman that they like in the mix as well in that secondary, but I mean, he didn't make no bones about it. He's got a lot to figure out there. He said he likes the talent of the guys that are there. They got some size for whatever that's worth in the secondary, but no question at all, it looks like a weakness right now. The biggest question marks, the defensive line and that defensive backfield.
Yeah. Cole Barrett joining us, 3:43, Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. You mentioned the schedule. Valpo, to start things off, certainly should be a winnable game for you and I at the Dome at 4 o'clock a week from tomorrow. And then 3 straight D1 teams. And, you know, we're used to you and I with, okay, we had the one D1 game in the past, then it kind of went to 2. St. Thomas is a D1 school up in St. Paul. That will be in week number 2. This is something, though, not only you and I, but other FCS teams are having to go to help out as far as monetarily the football program. We all know how that plays out, but is this going to be the way it is from now on, 3, or is it maybe going to rotate between 2 and 3?
I think it'll probably lean more towards 2. St. Thomas, yeah, that's going to be a tough opponent. I think you and I may well, for what it's worth, end up being a favorite in that game. But at the same time, I mean, for anybody who's paying attention, St. Thomas is a really formidable program, and they just their arrow continues to point up. So if you and I can come out of its non-conference schedule 2-2, they would have done a really good job, because it's in your wildest dreams, you can't really picture a win at Nebraska. You know, nobody listening might care to hear it, but it looks like Matt Rhule's got them pointed in the right direction. And then after you cash a check for about $600,000 for going to play the Cornhuskers, the check isn't as great for when you go play Hawaii, because they cover the travel and the lodging. So my understanding is that's a $150,000 check that you and I will get for its trip to Hawaii. But that money's so important. I mean, the football program depends on the money they get out of these games, like you were hinting at. Thankfully, I suppose, best case scenario, they have a bye week after the Hawaii trip, you know, 7,000-mile round trip. And then a Missouri Valley Conference schedule begins on October 5th at the Unidome against preseason number one, two-time defending national champ South Dakota State. And there's only one opponent. One opponent, if I'm not mistaken, on that conference schedule that's either not top 25 or receiving votes, and that's the regular season finale against Indiana State. And I've seen a lot of tough UNI schedules. I know you guys have as well. I think this one takes the cake.
Yeah, Cole, piggybacking off that, I'm curious which games are pivotal to get UNI to maybe a five-loss season, knowing that within the, and you kind of talked around it, five of the six games, there's a stretch of six games, five of them are on the road, plus the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I look at they're going to have to win a couple of road games in the Missouri Valley Football Conference against these preseason top 25 opponents. So I would circle the October 12th game at preseason number five, South Dakota. They've played well in the Dakota Dome before against the Coyotes. They're plenty capable of doing it again. There's enough parity in the Missouri Valley that I would say don't get too wrapped up, with no disrespect to South Dakota, into the preseason ranking. It's not out of the question you and I could win that game. They'll have their work cut out for them. And then the other two games I would have circled in terms of having to win a couple of these ranked Valley road games would be the following week. They go to North Dakota. North Dakota is ranked number 24 preseason. And then Youngstown State later on in the season, second to last game of the regular season, Youngstown State ranked number 25. They got to make the big trip out east to Ohio. I look at those three games, and I think given the strength of everything else on the schedule, you're probably going to have to win two of those three.
Yeah, I don't think you're going out on a limb there. And given the schedule, I mean, the committee, even with what, a six and with five losses, taking a look at the strength of schedule for UNI, I mean, I know Mark Varley's been on the wrong side of that in the past several years, but boy, that would be saying a lot to go through this with only five losses. Four, they're in for sure, I think.
Well, I think they could get in if they win the right games and the games that they lose aren't too ugly. I think they could get in at 6-6. They've gotten in before with six wins. If they're beating multiple ranked conference opponents and what's consistently, unquestionably, the toughest conference in FCS football, it's not too difficult to put a 6-6 resume together this season that's going to look pretty good. So that may be the magic number this year, but then again, there's probably a version of 6-6 that doesn't work at the same time. So 7-5, there's no way they can keep them out. 6-6, a lot of years, some years they play only 11 games. This is a 12-game regular season. Sometimes 6-5 doesn't get it done. I think six wins could this year.
We haven't talked about the opener, Valparaiso. What do you expect out of that game?
I expect them to win, to find a way to get that job done, however pretty or not so pretty it may be. And I'll go back to what we talked about earlier with the strengths of this team. When you're taking on a roster like Valpo, who's playing non-scholarship football in the Pioneer League, lean on your bread and butter if you're UNI. You've developed this offensive line, this depth, this talent. It was developed so well that Matt Campbell over in Ames with Iowa State hired your offensive line coach, Ryan Clanton, away. And they're still enjoying a lot of the hard work that Ryan Clanton put in to recruit these guys to Cedar Falls. So lean on that offensive line. Your guys are going to be bigger. They're going to be stronger. Your running backs are certainly bigger. You and I's got some of the big, got the biggest maybe trio of running backs in FCS football. If the air raid doesn't have a dazzling debut, then as Coach Farley has joked, calling it air raid adjacent or air raid inverted, just pivot to that and wear Valpo out the best you can. And if it's a 24 to 14 win, so be it. Take it and move on.
Well, Mark Farley likes a challenge, and he has never backed down from a challenge. So I think he's relishing this year going in.
Yeah, I think so too. His energy is as good as ever, guys. I mean, it's his 24th season, but you really wouldn't know it. Not only is, you know, when he's talking football, is he great, but he's maybe never been better when it comes to the Panther Caravan event in the spring, promoting the new athletic director, Megan Franklin. Genuine enthusiasm about her and about the direction of the department. Of course, the renovation that continues to go on with the Unidome. Mark Farley hasn't lost a step whatsoever. Of course, he's challenged by what we talked about before with the resources available to his program, but it seems like, to what degree, don't know for sure, but things are pointed in a positive direction up here in Cedar Falls for UNI football.
Awesome. Good to see. Keep up the great work, Cole. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And we'll look forward to talking UNI Panther Athletics with you again.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
You bet. Cole Bear joining us here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class as we come up on 3:52. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you right after this.
The second you climb onto a John Deere and sit in the yellow seat, you'll notice that the difference between our 1025R and the competition is more than paint deep. It feels like it was designed with a better understanding of real-world performance needs and features you'll appreciate over the long-term ownership. At City Tractor, we went head-to-head with the competition to prove it. Stop by City Tractor on Penn Street and North Liberty today to see the difference for yourself. You just have to get in the seat.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity? Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim@kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
Something amazing is happening in networking. Organizations are scaling with less stress. That's because CDW is designing and implementing intelligent HPE Aruba networking solutions that simplify and secure operations. With automation at the center of your data center, growing pains can be a thing of the past. HPE Aruba Networking and CDW. Make amazing happen. Learn more at cdw.com/Aruba.
Need assistance with door and window projects? The Home Depot can help. From inspiration and materials to ordering and installation, our free Millwork virtual apron service can get you moving and doing. Plus, we speak Spanish too. Our associates can help you tackle complex jobs without you leaving the job site, saving you time and money. Call us at 1-833-HD-APRON or visit homedepot.com/MVA. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
3:53, back with you to close up shop here in a Friday edition of the Gym Class. Don't forget, Spencer on vacation. No Spencer on sports today. And he will be back on Monday. We will be back on Monday. It is game week for Iowa and Iowa State. You and I, most everybody, most all the high schools next week. We're going to talk about it all. Football is here, Mark, ready or not, right?
Yeah, I'm ready for it, and I'll be watching that game in Dublin tomorrow and maybe some of the last preseason games, and then we'll be off for real, right?
We'll be off for real, indeed. Just to update you what's happening at the BMW, Adam Scott continues to lead by 4. He's been done for quite a while after a 9-under-63. Keegan Bradley in second, and then a couple of players tied for third, including Ludwig Oberg, who's had a good day on the links today. And you can move up in a hurry in the FedEx Cup standings, Mark, in this thing. Keegan Bradley, who has had one top 10 this year, could be, if he wins this, third in the FedEx Cup standings going to the final event next week.
And that's pretty odd, isn't it? And it's a season-long race to the FedEx Cup in name only. I mean, season-long winner is Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. Player of the year. Well, it's not a slam dunk. A lot of people are asking if Scheffler, if Xander Schauffele wins the FedEx Cup and wins a couple events, and he's up there this week. Scottie Scheffler right now minus one, so he is quite a bit off the pace, but don't give up on him. But could Xander somehow win? It's going to be tough to knock off Scheffler, though.
Hey, he won six times. He won a gold medal. He won a major. It's pretty tough to beat.
Yeah. Baseball coming up this weekend as well. Some pretty good series. Houston and Baltimore are going to go at it head-to-head. The Diamondbacks and the Boston Red Sox, that is a biggie. Philadelphia at Kansas City. Your Twins are entertaining the St. Louis Cardinals. A lot on the line. That is a World Series rematch. Milwaukee gets to go to Oakland, so maybe they will get well a little bit. Mets and the San Diego Padres, Giants, and Seattle with their brand-new manager. So there are a lot of good baseball series. Can't give up on baseball quite yet, though, Mark.
Not at all. Great series coming up, and we'll have an eye on that as well.
Well, you can give up on baseball if your team is nearing the 100 loss point.
Yeah, we've known that since June.
We've known that since the beginning of May, Mark. But thank you for your optimism right there. Appreciate that. As we mentioned, we've got college football coming up for you tomorrow evening. Really looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun with SMU taking on Nevada. We also have baseball coming up over the weekend, the IndyCar Series in Portland, Oregon, on the road course at Portland as well. So lots of things. The fun thing about this time of the year, Mark, you get the end of the golf season. Baseball is still going. Football is starting. Racing is starting to wind down a little bit. It's a, as we mentioned, it is one of the best times of the year to be a sports fan.
It is, and it just gives me and you a lot of homework to do between now and the next time we speak to everyone on Monday.
That's right, and it will be game week. So tune in to all our local programming, and we will be back with you next Monday at 3 o'clock. Andrew, have a good weekend, and we will talk to you next week. And Mark, talk to you on Monday. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Do you have trouble getting in and out of the bathtub? Are you afraid you'll slip and fall entering or exiting a tub? SafeStep walk-in tubs can transform your bathtub.